Genesis chapter number 18 this morning, please, in your Bibles. Now, I want to preach today a message entitled, When God Delays. When God Delays. Do you ever feel like that maybe God has forgotten you and your situation or your circumstance? Sure. There needs to be an answer to prayer, and it seems like God has delayed His answer, or maybe even forgotten that you need an answer. And so what do we do when God delays? Take your Bibles, Genesis chapter 18. Let's stand for reading of God's Word. We'll read down verses 1 through 15. And keep your Bibles handy. We'll look at several other scriptures this morning. And I'll do my best to get through the entire message without being too long. But I do want you to see some things, important things today from Scripture. I'll read the first verse. You come along and read with me on the second and down through the Scripture. We'll be responsible that way. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the... And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah, now watch the scripture. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? The Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall of surety bear a child which am old. Watch verse 14 as you read. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. At that time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, thou didst laugh. Of course, the Bible is accurate in this portrayal of Sarah and Abraham, that we all laugh with her now. Thousands of years later, we're still laughing about Sarah and Abraham having a child when they're old. And today I want to talk to you about when God delays. So we have a tendency of reading the script. We know when, as we read the scriptures, we can read the Bible and we can turn a page. And for us, it's just but a moment. But for sometimes, it was, you turn a page, there's 5 years gone. You turn another page, there's another 20 years gone. But with us, it happens so fast. But for others, there is a lifetime of waiting for God to move. We'll talk about that this morning. Father, help us now as we look at your word, Father. Help our hearts to be attentive. Pray you bind the devils and demons of hell, Father. And Lord, give us liberty in this place, Father. Spirit of God, please move amongst us and do the Father's will. We ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just take you on this little bit of a journey here first as we look at Abraham and Sarah. And I want you to notice with me, hold your place there and turn back just a few pages to the left of Genesis chapter 12. We're going to go back in time a little bit. And in Genesis chapter 12, we find God's revealed will to Abraham. Now, this time he's called Abram, but for sake of simplicity, I'll just call him Abraham throughout the entire message. But God is going to call Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. We see chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. Now, the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now watch verse number 2. Here's God's revealed will for Abraham and Sarah. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. We see that in chapter 12, God comes and reveals his will for Abraham's life. Abraham, I want you to leave your family and from your country. I want you to go into a country that I will show thee, the land of Canaan. I'm going to give that land to you and to your family. And from you and from your wife, I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be blessed. And you're going to bring forth a son. And I'm going to make that your family, that your seed is as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the sea. They're going to be unnumberable. And from thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we also see not just an Abrahamic a covenant with Abraham, but we also see God's promise of the Messiah through the line of Abraham. And so God reveals his plan to Abraham. And God's plan was a future promise to Abraham. We find that in this particular case, now Abraham is 75 years old when God reveals his plan for him. 75 years old, his wife being 10 years younger was 65. And so we find that God now reveals his plan. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 14, we find that God reminds Abraham of his plan. The Lord said unto Abraham after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, look for the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. Hold the land which thou seest to thee, will I give it to thy seed forever. And he looked down to, of course, there God repeats and God reminds Abraham of his plan. Genesis chapter 15, Abraham reminds God he's still childless. And God reassures Abraham, I've got a plan. I'm not finished. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, in today's society, if you're 75 and 65 years old and have a child, that makes headlines. Obviously, something back in this time and day and age, though it was getting a little bit less happening, it still seemed to be maybe pretty common for older folks in their 60s and 70s to have a child. But a few years pass, and Abraham reminds God, God, you made this, you announced this plan for my life. You announced your will for my life. And God, I'm still waiting and we're still childless. And God's like, Abraham, I've not forgotten you. My plan still is to bless you. We then see in chapter number 16, Abraham now is 85. So 10 years has passed. And it was clear that God has delayed his will or his plan. And Abraham and Sarah, now they grow a little bit weary. And so Sarah now is 75 years old. She's a little bit scared now. She's like, I'm childless. I'm never going to have a baby. And so you know what takes place. They get involved in God's business. Sarah gives Abraham Hagar, her handmaid, to be his wife. And Abraham and Hagar birth a young man named Ishmael. And so Abraham comes to God and says, God, I know what your plan for my life is, and I'm going to help you with it. Now please bless this, my son. Of course, God had promised Abraham that he'd bless his seed. And so in some aspects, God honored his promise and blessed Ishmael. But Ishmael really became the enemy over the several years to children of Israel. And from that, we find a lot of times, we find the Muslim nation being birthed. And we see that what that's caused Israel. But it would seem like that Abraham and Sarah said, God, we got tired of waiting for your will. And so here we thought we'd use our logic and our reasoning to help you out. And I'll bless what we've done and make it your will. God said, no, I told you what I was going to do. And so we find that in chapter number 17 and 18, that God begins to work his plan. Ishmael is 13 years old. And so we find that from the time that God reminded Abraham of his plan, 13 years had passed. From when God revealed the plan of Abraham to Abraham, 25 years have passed. So 25 years ago, God said to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a son and make you a great nation. And just wait up on me. And so 25 years pass before God puts his plan into action. Had God delayed? Had God forgotten? The answer definitely is no. Let's look at a few verses to verify some of this. Look at Genesis chapter 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, When Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. So we find here that Abraham, again, 25 years has passed. Look at verse number 15. God says, listen, Abraham, I'm Almighty God. I'm El Shaddai. I can take care of what I promised you. Verse 15 says, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I'll bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah bear that? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And so we find here that, they're acting like God is delayed. It's too late. It's impossible. All right, that's all right. It must just throw out the window. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse number 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That means that her factory had shut down. Okay? Now you can imagine being 90 years old. All right? And now and it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed, also I pleasure with my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything, now watch this, is anything too hard for the Lord? So here we have, now look at this, it wasn't, listen, we're not talking about just a few days. 25 years have passed, and now it also would seem humanly impossible for God's promise to come true. Circumstances would say, it ain't going to happen. Here she is, you know, she's 90. Listen, at 65, my wife would say, ha, ain't happening, buddy. 90 years old! And, you ain't thinking about raising children at 90 all over again. Look at chapter number 21. Watch the scripture here. Verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, watch it, as he had said. Amen. As he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time, which the Lord God, of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so all that hear will laugh with me. This morning y'all had a chuckle as we read the scripture. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. I want you to see this morning, you know, men often have the perception that God has delayed his plan or has forgotten his plan when God does not work on our timetable. We're often guilty of expecting God to work immediately within our plans, within our timetable. We as Americans, we're very impatient people. We will do anything for convenience. And we live for convenience, we live for the right now, and we want God to answer our prayers and move in our life immediately. And we think that if some reason there's a delay for a few days or for a few weeks, that God has delayed His action, or God is late in His action, or God has forgotten all of us. We have difficulty grasping that God does not work in days and weeks, but He works in months and years. We have difficulty grasping that God may say to you, my answer is coming. My plan is still in action, but you're going to wait 25 years to see it come to pass. Has God delayed? Not at all. God is working His plan. So today I want to answer three questions from the life of Abraham and Sarah. Why does God delay His action or His answer? Then number 2 is, what are we to do when it seems God has delayed His action or His answer? Number 3, I want to answer the question, when will God move in our circumstance or in our life? Let me answer those three questions today the best I can from the scripture. Why does it seem like God delays His action? Abraham and Sarah, God revealed His plan for them. Then 25 years later, when it seemed impossible to accomplish, God answered their prayers for them, and God revealed this. God put his plan into action. Why does God delay his action? Let me say this. God does everything at the best time and at the right time. We read in our scripture in Jerusalem 21, we read that God at the set time, that God did what he said he was going to do at the set time. Let me show you another example. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4:4. Watch what the Word of God says here. God does everything at the best time and at the right time. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Salvation for man was not plan B from the very beginning. Salvation for man through Christ has always been plan A. From the very foundation of the world, God had determined that Christ would be slain for the sins of man. God didn't say, "Oops, Adam and Eve sinned. Whoops, now what am I going to do?" He had it all planned out. And we find that Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 talks about that plan. From the very beginning, God had that planned out. But Christ did not come. By the way, they were looking for him for 6,000 years. For 6,000 years, it seemed like maybe God had delayed or forgotten. But God said when the fullness of time was come, at the right time, at the best time, God sent his Son. God's never late. God's never behind. God never forgets. You say, "What about my circumstance, preacher? I'm hurting. I'm waiting. I'm anxious." Listen, wait on God. He's never late. He has a plan. And at the right time, at the best time, God always moves in your life. God delays. By the way, God works not in this months and weekdays and months. God says that the day with him is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. God never gets anxious. He's never in a hurry. He's always right on time. So God works his plan at the best time, at the right time. God's delay is oftentimes good for man. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long suffering to us, for no one that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know why God, it seems like God delays his long suffering? Because if God was quick in his actions, we all would perish. So God is long suffering, and God might be waiting in your life for someone to be born again. You say, "Well, why don't God judge? Why don't God bring that thing to an end?" Oh, if God did, that might be the judgment of someone that you love in your life. Yeah. Could be the end. It could be perish for them. And so he's long suffering, waiting for men to repent before he acts. God's delay oftentimes is due to the pride of man. Let me show you a verse here. You read this week too, if you're following with us. Look back at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Let me show you something here. So God does everything at the best time, at the right time. God's delay, what we would call delay, is good for man. God's delay, what we would call God's delay, is due to the pride of man at times. In Psalm 78, verse number 35, look at the scriptures. We're going to pick it up in the middle of context. As the psalmist writes here, he's revealing to us the nature of Israel as they left Egypt in their complaining and their sin and their backsliding. Verse number 35 says, "And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant." So with their words, they honored Christ, but their heart was far from him. But he being full of compassion, forgave them their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. We find that sometimes God is delayed, if you will, due to the pride of man. Here we find that Israel, God's plan was for them to immediately go in the promised land. Not 40 years wandering around, but Israel, because of the hardness of their heart, because of their sin, God, it seemed like God would delay his action, but it really was the sin of the people. They tempted God. How do they tempt God? They said something like this: God, if you'll just answer all our prayers, what we want to do, God will worship and serve you. You know what they're doing? They're saying, God, we want to be your God. And God, if you'll just honor our prayers, and God, if you'll just answer every desire that we have, and give us what we want to eat and what we want to drink, when we want it, God, then we'll serve you. And what they did was they limited God. They put God in the box. They said, God has to work in my timetable, what I want. If he doesn't do what I want, I'm not going to serve him. And they limited God. God wasn't limited by any means. But man limits God. And I think that sometimes, well, that's why what we call, we perceive God delaying, because God's not jumped through our hoops and danced according to what we've to the beat of our drummer. And we have this idea that God, if you just answer all my prayers the way I want you to answer all my prayers and give me what I want, God, when I want, God, then I'll worship you and serve you. You're tempting God. You are the one limiting God. And so God at times, by the way, God resists the pride of man. So God, it seems, sometimes delays his action. But his delay, he does everything at the right time at the best time. And God's delay is good for man. And God sometimes seems to delay because of the pride of man. By the way, let me remind you that God sees what we don't. There are times that may seem like God is delaying, but God has a reason for what he might delay. And he sees the beginning from the ending, from his perspective, and he sees what we don't. And he may know that if he answers our prayers immediately, it would harm us, or it would not be good for us.
Right.
So the question is then, what are we to do as Christians? When it seems like in our circumstance or in our grief that God has delayed his action or his answer, when God has revealed his will to us, but yet it seems like we just can't quite reach it. Boy, there are times when we say, God reveals his will. This is what I want you to do. And we think, all right, if God's revealed it, it must be he wants me to do it today or tomorrow. And as we try to do that today or tomorrow, it seems like we just can't quite grasp it. There's always an obstacle to overcome. What we may not realize is what God reveals, he may place that burden upon our life and our hearts, but it may not come to fruition for years down the road. Sometimes missionaries are called at a young age, but it's years before they go to the field. I was called to be a pastor. I believe God revealed his will for me to be a pastor at the age of 14. I was nowhere ready to pastor just at the age of 14. I'm barely ready now at the age of 48. And so God, sometimes, what do we do then when God delays his action or his answer? Let me give you two thoughts about that. Number one is wait on the Lord. Wait on God. Abraham was told, Abraham, you just wait on me. Look at some verses here. I want to show you some verses. Look at Psalms 27. What do we do when it seems like God has delayed his answer to my prayer, his will in my life? He's delayed acting in my life. He's not helped fix my problem. And I need God. Where is he at? And he's delayed. What do we do? Well, my friend, can I tell you, don't add misery to misery. Don't run from God. Don't tempt God and say, God, if you don't answer my prayer when I want you to answer my prayer, I'm not going to serve you. And God, I'm angry, I'm mad at you, God, because you messed up my life. Don't charge God foolishly. It's the arrogant man, the foolish man that charges God with such nonsense. Look at Psalms 27, verse number 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here the psalmist echoes the words of God. Wait upon God and be of good courage. Hey, as you wait upon God, just take good courage, and that God will strengthen your heart, and God has a plan. God's not finished. God's not delayed. His plan is still moving on. Even though you can't see it, God's still working. It's amazing how that much of what God does is behind the scenes, that we can't always see or know or feel. But God is working, and God says, wait upon me and be of good courage. Hey, be of good courage and still go to church. Be of good courage and still read the Bible. Be of good courage and still pray. Be of good courage and still go out and knock on doors. Hey, just wait on God. Look at Psalms 37, verse number 7. I need to quickly get through. I got to get down to the last few thoughts here. The time is quickly walking away from us. Psalms 37, verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in this way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices a pass. I'm going to say this morning, wait and stop being jealous and judging God. Say that again. Wait upon God and stop judging God and being jealous of others. Here the psalmist writes, and he said, listen, wait upon God, rest in the Lord, wait upon Him patiently, and don't get anxious of those that you think is doing more than you. Here I am, God, I'm over here in the shadows, waiting for You to work in my life, to help me with Your will in my life, to answer my prayers, and I'm waiting here with nothing. You're delayed Your answer, You delayed Your action. Look at that guy over there, he's got everything. God, it's not fair. You can't base your, our perception is so skewed. And God said, don't you be jealous of the unrighteous man that he might prosper in the way. May I remind you, the unrighteous man that prospers in the way, listen, if he rejects God and never gets saved, that's the best heaven he'll ever know. And your problem is the worst hell you'll ever know. Hey, stop whining and rest upon God. How dare us judge God? Say, God, you're unfair, God. If God was fair, we'd all be dead in hell. God dealt with you fairly. We'd never have a chance. You'd be condemned in a moment. You better thank God that God doesn't deal with us fairly and justly. And so, wait upon God. Look at verse number 34 of the same chapter. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off and thou shalt see it. Wait upon the God and do the next right thing. That's not, and listen, it's easy to, I'm telling you something, that's easy to preach that. It can be a little difficult to do at times. Wait upon God. And it's not really rocket science. What do you do now? This is the next right thing. You know, this morning I got up and I read my Bible. I came to church. You know why? Not because there was some great desire that I just burned within me. It was the next right thing to do. I love church. I love the Word of God. But to be honest, I didn't always want to do it. You know, the hardest, you see, so preacher, you're a pastor, you've been a pastor for 20 plus years, you must love church. Not on a lot of Wednesdays. Not a lot of Wednesdays. I'll be honest. There are times on Wednesday nights, like, I didn't want to go, man. I've been here all day long studying and working in the church, helping in the school. I just want to go home and sit in my chair. That's just being honest. And by the way, you do the same thing. Some of you, you worked all day long. You've been at your job and you've been out in the world. The last thing you want to do is come deal with a lot of church nonsense sometimes and people's nonsense. I just want to go and be home by myself and have the kids shut up and leave me alone and give me something cold to drink and a stick of beef jerky and leave me alone. But why do you come? It's the next right thing. You know, I'll tell you something. You know what I hate the most? I hate paying bills. I hate paying bills. Man, I look at the money I made over the last 20 plus years. You know, if I didn't have to buy groceries, Brother Groom, you and I'd be millionaires. I'm not kidding you. We'd be multimillionaires if we could just take the money that we spent in groceries and invest it. And to me, it's waste. I mean, it's just, listen, you know where that money goes? The septic tank. So, listen, your money's in the septic tank, Brother Groom. You'd be a multimillionaire. Get rid of your kids, man, and just live off of air. I don't know. I hate paying bills, but I love running water. I like electricity. You know, I'll be a little transparent. Some of you think I'm big and strong and tough. I am. Last Sunday night, we went home. I must be boring. Some of you guys are just out sleeping. I'm sorry. This is boring. Well, last Sunday, we went home, and we had no electricity. And now my room, if you've been to my house, my bedroom is huge. It's, I don't know, what is it, Tammy? 15 by 15. It's 15 by 20. It's a big room. But it was pitch dark in there. And there was no noise, no fans, nothing. It was silence. I got claustrophobic. I felt like I was getting closed in. I couldn't sleep. My wife was praying for me. I knew she was praying for me because she knows when that happens, I get restless. I can't sleep in there. Man, I'm opening the windows, opening the blinds, let some moonlight in there because I can't, I mean, I'm like, I'm suffocating! You're in a huge room! It's dark. There's no noise. Boy, I couldn't sleep and I was restless. Finally, at 1:30, my fan kicked on by my bed. I'm like, oh, thank the Lord. I can finally sleep. It don't seem so crushing. But I pay my electric bill. I hate paying it, but I like electricity. But paying my bills is the next right thing. Now, that may be some silly illustrations, but Christian, I'll tell you something. You'd be surprised what God will do for you if you wait upon Him. Just do the next right thing. Keep His ways. Look at Psalms 130, verse number 5. Psalms 130, verse number 5. Brother Tom has witnessed it. Brother Matt has witnessed it. I can't sleep in a tent. I've gone hiking. I'll get in the tent. I'll be in there for 2 hours. I come flying out because I feel like that tent squishing the life out of me. And I can see, like, I can see the outside. It's like, listen, you big fat dumb guy, you're okay. It's nylon. It won't hurt you. I do that about 2 hours and I got to come out, man. It's like, I can't do it. Not in the tent. We were given a fold-down camper a few years ago before when our boys were young. I had a hard time sleeping in that thing too. I told Tammy, you got to sleep on the inside next to the canvas. I can't do it. And so if you ever want to drive me nuts, put me in a small area. These guys that go splunking, good for them. I'll never go. Look at Psalms 130, verse number 5. It says this, I wait for the Lord and my soul doth wait, in His word do I hope. Wait upon God and stay in the Bible. Let me tell you something, Christian. If you don't wait upon God and stay in the book, you're going to get bitter. Right. You're going to end up trying to figure out your own solution and say, God, here's what I figured out by my own logic. Now, would you make it your will? Yeah. God's like, no, I ain't got to make it. That's not my will for you, brother. It's not my will for you. Now you just messed things up. And now you just got an issue on your hands. Now this kid is going to birth a nation that's going to pest you the rest of your life. Come on. Wait upon God and stay in His book. Look at the next one. Look at Proverbs 20, verse number 22. Proverbs 20, verse number 22. And I'm focused on waiting this for a moment here because I want you to see how important this is to wait on God. Wait. We get in such a big hurry, we mess things up. Look at verse number, chapter, Proverbs 20, verse number 22. Oh, say not thou, I'll recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and He shall save thee. Hey, wait on God without bitterness and anger. Wait on God without bitterness and anger. Just wait upon God. Listen, I'm telling you, I was a preacher. My life, my circumstances, yeah, it may be tough, but God will figure it. God knows the plan. He's not confused. He's not confounded. He's not stumped. Listen. God has never looked at your problem and say, boy, I don't know what to do about that. You can't take anything God and God says, you know what, I just don't, you know, you can come to me and say, preacher, what do I do now? And I'm going to tell you sometimes, I don't know. You made a big mess. I have no idea. I have to be honest. There are times folks come to me and say, preacher, what do I do now? I'm like, I do the same thing. Wait. Wait on God. Because I always don't know the answer. But God never, He's never confounded or confused. But by the way, often, many times our problems become easily solved when we just wait upon God. Don't wait upon God and don't get bitter and angry. Don't say, well, I'll fix my problem myself. I'll get that person. Wait upon God. Let me share a couple verses with you. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, the soul that seeketh Him. It is good for man that he should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. God says, it's good for you to wait patiently. Oh, how long is that? 25 years if need be. And quietly. That means we can't complain and moan and bellyache and accuse God falsely. God is still working. You know the verse, Isaiah 40, verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hey, everyone likes to mount up with wings as eagles. Maybe we all like to soar and fly. We all like to run without being weary. But no one likes to wait. Wait upon God. Wait patiently for God. As you wait for God, walk with the Lord. Number two, walk with the Lord. Genesis 17:1, as God reminded Abraham of His plan. In Genesis 17:1, God said to Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So not only should we wait upon God, but we also walk before God with the right heart and the right attitude and the right spirit. God said, I'm Almighty God. He's saying, I'm El Shaddai. I'm all God Almighty. There's nothing too hard for me, but God, do you realize that she's 90 years old, God? She is dried up. God, there ain't nothing too hard for me. Your wife is no problem for me. There's no problem for me. And Sarah's like, Sarah laughed. Now catch the verse. Now I'm not talking about a cruder thing, but Sarah laughed. Shall I pause with my Lord again? God, you know how old he is? That guy's old. We haven't been together for years, God. That's no problem with me. God can take care of that. Don't add misery to your misery, and don't take your family out of God's will, and don't try to help God with your ideas or your logic. Wait and walk with God. Number three, I'll close with these two thoughts. When will God then move or answer? When will God move or work in my circumstance? When does God move? I can't give you a date, a day, or an hour, but I can give you two thoughts about that. Hold your place in Genesis and come to the book of Romans chapter 4. Let me close with this verse, with these verses here. When does God work and move in the lives of his people? Look at Romans chapter 4. Here's some great verses. Look with me at verse number 13. The entire chapter here deals with Abraham, the birth of Isaac. But look at verse number 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of, what's the next word? Faith. Verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by, what's the next word? Grace. Look at verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he's about 100 years old, either yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he which had promised was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification. Let me tell you something. How are we saved this morning? We're saved through grace by faith. Why? Lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. So God says, listen, if you want to get born again, you've got to come by faith and grace. Why? Because both faith and grace exalt Jesus Christ. And so when does God begin to move in our life and our circumstances? Number one, when faith is exalted. When faith is exalted. 25 years pass with Abraham and Sarah's life. They're both, God says in Romans 4, they're both dead. Hey, things for both of them ain't working like they used to work. And the world would say, it's impossible for those two people to have a baby and raise up a nation at 100 years old. And God said, not for me, it's not too hard. But when you have faith, and Abraham kind of come to a place where his faith was so persuaded, he did not stagger in his walk with God, did not stagger in his belief. He said, I know who I believe, and I'm persuaded he's able. He's El Shaddai. He's God Almighty. Nothing is too hard for God. You see, God waits sometimes till we come to the end of ourselves. Why? Well, if you can get saved by yourself, you and I would boast about that. And we can fix our own problems. We would say, you know what, God, here's what I sometimes get a little weary of. Sometimes our answers to prayer are bragging about our righteousness. It is true. Well, God answered my prayer. I don't know about your prayer, but my prayer, God answers because all my life I've done this, this, and this. And so God was obligated to answer my prayer. That's not how God would answer anybody's prayer. But God does move when faith exalts him. When we say, God, I can't fix this at all. I am to the end of myself. And God, I am dead. And my life is dead in you. And God, only you can fix this problem. It exalts faith. Let me tell you something. God is, according to the book of Hebrews, God is pleased by our walk of faith. And God rewards those who walk by faith. And our faith is not boasting of ourself. Our faith, the object of our faith is Christ. So when does God move? When Christ is exalted by your faith. When does God move? When grace is exalted. He sees, Jesus Christ said this, when you live by faith, faith and grace must go together. Because faith says, God, I can't fix this. I'm not able. I'm not capable. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. God, you must fix this. And grace says, you don't deserve it, but I will. Amen. And when grace and faith are exalted, God moves. God moves. There's nothing that God gives that you and I deserve. Amen. You and I can't ever say, God answered my prayer. God fixed my situation. And because I tithe, I deserved it. Because I get the missions, God owed me one. God owes you and I nothing. And all that God does for us, every gift that God gives to us, is an act of grace upon His part. And when grace is exalted, it says, what made Abraham and Sarah have a baby at 100 years old? Grace. Grace did. Grace. How's that to be the midwife of that woman? It's going to be rough, honey. It's going to be rough hanging in there. Second Corinthians 4:15 says, watch this, listen to this. Second Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Christian, today I want to remind you that faith and grace always exalt God. Always exalt Christ. And when Christ sometimes waiting for us, He's waiting for what He's waiting for, what makes him like He's delaying, He's just waiting for you to get out of the way. If God sometimes will answer our prayers, move our circumstances when we want, we get the glory. Mm-hmm. We get the attention, and not God. Mm-hmm. And God does everything for His glory and for our good. Mm-hmm. So what do we, when will God move in your life? I don't know, sir. When will God answer your prayers? I can't give the day or the time. It could be tomorrow. It could be 15 years from now. But God is not late. God is not behind. And God is not forgotten. God is still moving. But God says this, hey, when you come to the place where faith is exalted and grace is exalted, I can move in your life. God is never late, never behind, never weary, never forgets. And when it appears that God is not working or He has delayed, rest assured that God still has a plan. While God's plan is working, will you wait upon Him? When will God fix my marriage? I don't know. Probably when you get out of the way. When will God fix my children? I've been praying for my kids a long time. When will God save my children? I don't know. What do you do when you wait? You wait upon God patiently. God, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to walk with You. I'm going to love You. I'm going to serve You, God. I'm going to walk with You, God. Before You, I'm going to walk. I'm going to please You. And I'm going to exalt faith and grace. And God works in those circumstances. God does not delay. God's still working.